Thank you all of you who prayed for me this week. I do covet your prayers, and thank you for remembering that way. Just want to start off by, I know Brad already prayed, but I always like to start off with a short word of prayer, if you don't mind. Dear Lord God, I thank you for your word, and thank you specifically for this letter to the Philippians. Lord, I ask that you would give us ears to hear what you have to say for us, and a heart to live it out. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so in these Sunday evening services, we've been walking through Paul's letter to the Philippians. And I don't know if you remember, but we started this on September 1st, 2024. So almost a year ago, and here we are in the final passage of Philippians. And so just to remind you, we've heard from Anthony, Jacob, Dennis, Frank, Caleb, Andrew, Sam, Jeremiah, Blake, Mason, Matt, David, and Hayden on this passage. And I just want to take the time to thank them all for faithfully teaching the word to us. And I do trust and pray that fruit was born from their faithful labor in the scriptures. So each of them sought to show how this precious letter to the Philippians feeds into Paul's overall main point, and that is, as a reminder, as citizens of heaven, Christians are to joyfully pursue unity through humility for the forward progress of the gospel. Yes, progress of the gospel. So last time, Hayden showed us that chapter 4, verses 10 to 13 helps us know that Christians learn joyful contentment by looking to Christ, the source of their strength. Amen? Okay, so this evening, we're going to look at the final section of the letter, which can be found, if you turn there, to Philippians 4, 14 to 23. Before we read that, let's just do a quick reminder of where we've come. We know that Paul writes on the occasion of Epaphroditus bringing him a gift from the Philippian church to supply his needs while he's in prison in Rome. I find the letter to the Philippians shows very clearly Paul's affection for the saints there. He shows his love for them by confirming that their partnership has served to advance the gospel. He joyfully teaches them, urging them to fully know Christ by becoming like him in his death, which means living sacrificially for the Lord. The letter also exhorts them to rejoice in Christ, even amid suffering, to seek unity through humility and love, and to remain steadfast in pursuit of the final prize. And so now, after teaching contentment in all things, he circles back to where he started by commending their partnership in the gospel. So with that reminder of the context, let's read tonight's passage. Please join with me, Philippians 4, 14 to 23. Yet it was kind of you to share in my trouble, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So having read that, I would like to share with you what I think is the main point of this passage. Let me see if I can get this where I don't freak it out. There we go. Hopefully that's a little better. Okay, so I'm afraid this main point is a little long, but I will repeat it several times, so hopefully you'll get to write it down if you're taking notes. So main point of this passage is faithful partnership with gospel workers produces fruit when saints give sacrificially from what God has supplied. Faithful partnership with gospel workers produces fruit when saints give sacrificially from what God has supplied. And we're going to break that down into two points. First one is faithful partnership with gospel workers produces fruit. And that's from verses 14 to 17 and 22. And then the second point is when... I'm going to stop and... You want to use that instead of this? Okay. How about now? Sweet. Thank you, Ryan. Okay. Okay, so, as I said, two points. First one, faithful partnership with gospel workers produces fruit. And that's verses 14 to 17 and verse 22. And then second point, when saints give sacrificially from what God has supplied. And that's verses 18 to 20. So let's begin with that first point. Faithful partnership with gospel workers produces fruit. Paul continues this passage by encouraging the Philippians with a story of just how faithful the church had been in their partnership with him and how kind it was of them to share in his trouble. Knowing Paul's situation now, unable to support himself in prison, and earlier in his missionary journeys when other churches were not supporting his gospel work, the Philippians have been consistent in giving what they had whenever they could. Paul says of the Philippians after 10 years of partnership that they are always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. The example from the Philippians was that they didn't just give a one-time gift and be done with it. They entered into a long-term, loving partnership with Paul. Similarly, today, it is my hope that the gospel workers that we support and send will say the same of us here at UBC. But let's meditate on the significance of the words that Paul uses here, the words share and partnership. They suggest that in joining with Paul, they are sharing in his burdens. It is a cooperative bearing of the load toward a common goal of the forward progress of the gospel. And isn't that what we do now and plan to continue to do in the future? We consistently support ministry workers like the Burkhalters, the Ingsdals. We train and send PAs in residence like Trey Richardson and Nolan Helder. We train up and intend to send cross-cultural workers like the team we have in Southeast Asia right now. Let's continue that work. But Paul says that partnership is both giving and receiving. The giving part of this is no doubt a financial gift to Paul in this case. But what is the receiving part? Verse 17, if you look at it, clears this up. Both parties benefited from the fruit of both giving and the work that it supports in the form of seeing the gospel go forth and the salvation of many as a result of Paul's ministry. This fruit is to their credit, or as other versions say, the profit that accrues to their account. And this is the eternal fruit of souls being saved through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what we ultimately want to see from our partnerships? The salvation of many? Let's continue to pray that this is the fruit of our giving. Paul shares a clear example of this kind of fruit in verse 22, where we read that even those of Caesar's household have been saved through Paul's prison ministry. We just heard from Brad's recent sermon on John 19 that King Jesus' direct opponent on earth was
was the Roman Emperor Caesar. In Paul's day, Nero, who was also a Caesar, had imprisoned Paul for serving Christ over him. Yet God had turned Christ's enemies into friends through Paul's proclamation of the gospel and through the Philippian support for Paul while he's imprisoned there. Members of Emperor Nero's own family had come to the saving knowledge of Christ and were, through Paul, sending their greetings to the Philippians. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that the very nature of the good news? No one is too far gone, too far in sin, to repent and believe in Christ. We too were all once direct enemies of God, our sin putting Christ on the cross. But through the faithful proclamation of the gospel, using words, Haley, and the conviction of the Holy Spirit, we were saved. And if there's anyone here tonight who feels they're lost beyond hope, I assure you that God's grace and mercy is available to you. And to the believers here, continue to pray for miraculous conversions through gospel partnerships. Okay, so on to point two, when saints give sacrificially from what God has supplied. When saints give sacrificially from what God has supplied. The only reason that the Philippians were able to partner so generously with Paul was because of what God had supplied to them in the first place. Not just the money and the resources that they had so generously given to Paul, but the very heart to want to support Paul for the furtherance of the gospel. God supplies both a new heart, the motivation, and the resources according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Paul commends the Philippians for their faithful partnership in many ways because they didn't hold on to what they had. They freely, joyfully, and consistently shared with Paul to see others hear the gospel and receive the abundance that comes through Christ. Ultimately, their motivation from a changed heart was to see God receive all the glory and see many join with Paul in saying, "To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." In what way was this sacrificial, though? Verse 18 says that the Philippians' gifts are a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Does that language sound familiar to you? It should do, because just as Christ was willing to be an atoning sacrifice on our behalf, obediently giving everything for us, Christians should in return follow his, Paul's, and the Philippians' example of sacrificial giving for the forward progress of the gospel. There is an acknowledgement in this action that all of what we have is actually God's. The posture of the heart that pleases God because it's the right and true order of our relationship with him. We owe him everything, all of ourselves, holding nothing back. But what does that mean for us? I think it's timely that the elders shared with you this evening the budget surplus recommendation. As Sam said, please do take that away this evening and read through it. And I think you can see echoes of this message there in that recommendation. And I promise you that announcement was not planned to coincide with this message from Philippians 4 this evening. But as we know, God has a providential way of coordinating events to his purposes. So we have before us a clear example of what Paul is talking about in this passage. First, let me encourage you in the sacrificial giving that you, as a church body, have done to further the gospel in our community, in our nation, and across the globe. It is, as Brad was put on the spot to remember, the mission of UBC to proclaim Christ from all the scriptures, to make disciples from all the nations. Both our operating budget and the giving surplus clearly represent our heart's desire to partner with ministry workers and missionaries to share in the fruit of the gospel, to see the name of Christ glorified and the Father be praised forever. God has supplied your needs, and you have offered that as a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God, to your credit. Second, let me exhort and encourage you to not weary in well-doing, but to continue to partner faithfully, like the Philippians did, with Paul in gospel work. With kindness in your heart, share sacrificially together in the work to make disciples here at home by joining in with evangelistic and discipleship work in the community, amongst the body, with university students, with youth, as we heard, VBS, with nursery age children, Second Mile, etc. I could go on, list all the things that we do here within the body here at UBC. But also, share in the planting and revitalizing of churches locally and nationally by giving to the training of pastors and by prayerfully considering being part of that revitalization work. Also, partner in the training and sending of missionaries to cross-cultural, to work cross-culturally and to where Christ has yet to be named, by praying for them earnestly and by sharing their burdens with them. Think of what an encouragement it was when this church prayed and supported those who went to Georgia in 2023 and 2024. I know that was an incredible blessing to them as they were on the field there. All of these partnerships should make us want to lift our voices in gratitude to the Lord for allowing us to share in this work. But let me leave you with this. As we've been saying all along during our study in this marvelous letter, I exhort you as citizens of heaven, continue to joyfully pursue unity through humility for the forward progress of the gospel. Let's pray.